Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Today is Saturday, 4/15/2023, and you're listening to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and I don't know what time it is in certain other countries, but if we're being listened to here on Blog Talk Radio, by the way, in another country, you know, if you want to chime in, tell us what time it is in your neck of the woods. I'm glad that we're broadcasting this Saturday. There's a lot that's been going on this week. Some things we're going to chime into. Now, some of my co-hosts are really busy this week. And I said that, you know, soon we're going to take maybe a Saturday or two off. We've been nonstop for quite a few months. And, yeah, I kind of like need a Saturday off, too. So coming up, I'm going to probably schedule where we're going to have Saturday off because we have a new show that's going to be joining the network. Hopefully by next week we'll be set up. And I don't want to give you too many details right now, but I have an individual who has decided to join the TMGN, and we're more than happy to have him on. So look forward to that information. All right, coming up soon. Before I get into some of the topics that I want to touch on, which first part, you know, I want to get into the political thing that's been happening this week, and, you know, not just the politicians, but how certain politicians have involved themselves in overturning cases. You might have heard about this. Certain politician is geared up and ready to turn over something, or overturn, I should say, a verdict that was done by a jury of the peers. We're going to get into that. But first and foremost, I want to just share something with you guys real quick, something on the lighter note before we get into that. Just recently, I was watching the NCAA Women's Gymnastic Championship. And you know what? After football season, folks are like, okay, time to move on to baseball, basketball, here comes basketball. But you know what? I really appreciate the men and women's gymnastic program in college, because you don't see a competition among men and women like you see in baseball, football, basketball, you know, year-round. You only see gymnastics, most of us, if not through college, through the Olympics, right? And I just happened to come across it. You know, yeah, I missed football season. I look forward to it. Basketball pro, I'm sorry, I'm just not as enthusiastic about it as I used to be because of all the stuff that happens, all the issues and the trades and all that type of stuff. I'm more excited when it gets down to the 64 teams that are going to the NCAA tournament, you know, where you win or you go home. You know, I love that. It's not, well, okay, we're going to play, you know, five games here. We're going to play seven games here to advance. You know, I love the winner go home concept, you know. So anyway, but just recently I watched the women's NCAA gymnastics championship. Let me see, it was Oklahoma University, it was the Florida Gators, was LSU, it was Utah, I think I named them all. And wow, Oklahoma won. This is their sixth championship, I believe, within 9 years. So congratulations to the OU Sooners, Women's Gymnastics Champions. Congratulations to you ladies. Awesome competition. And then also, I have to say congratulations to Trinity Thomas of the Florida Gators. She tied the record. I think she's tied with two other individuals for the most perfect pins in her career. This was her final performance from what I understand. But she had, I believe, 27 or 28 perfect pins. So she's tied with two others in NCAA history. So congratulations to Trinity Thomas. I wonder if she's going to go forward into gymnastics as far as maybe trying for the Olympic team. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that. But great competition. I watched the whole thing, and it was awesome. And it just amazes me how, you know, we get caught up on these other sports and, you know, basketball, football, and everything. But in my mind, nothing really demands so much from the human body as far as, you know, acrobatics goes than gymnastics. It is just awesome to me to see what these individuals are able to do. It really is. So let me open up the mic here to a co-host on the West Coast, the one, the only, Mr. Mike. There you go, Mike. You open up a can of worms. My friend, Mr. Time and Shit. Happy Saturday.
How are you?
How you doing? Oh, man, I'm great, man. I was assuming here. I was just watching that gymnastics thing, man, and that was exciting to me. I was like, wow, these girls, the way they flip, turn, walk on a four-inch beam? Hell,
right.
They need to have that four-inch beam in the back of a police car for drunk drivers. Anyway,
right.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. Getting prepped for this. They're giving me a. I didn't ask for it, but they did it. My coworkers are getting me a retirement party.
Right. Oh, congratulations,
yeah,
man.
Retirement party.
Oh, and by the way, for you folks who are listening, who have been listening to the show for a while, yes. Timon has officially retired as of what, last Saturday, I think it was? Or the Saturday before?
Yeah, well, March 31st was my date. But, so, these guys, the women of my, you know, my little co-worker crew wanted to, they wanted to give me a going away party. So I am getting prepped for that, you know, so they're doing that. Yeah.
Well, I know we only have you for a short period of time. I know that. But let me ask you this so you can share with the listeners how long you've been working as a, you know, as a, you know, in the youth
probation department?
Yeah, in the youth, right, L.A. County Youth Probation Department. Just a reminder, because I know you shared it with us before when you first joined us, but tell folks a little bit about how long you've been there and what you're going to love about it and what you're going to hate about missing it and don't give a damn about leaving it.
Well, I mean, probation, on one hand, the job, it's a good job. It used to be. But not, you know, not anymore because of, you know, the way that they've, you know, the way that they've done things. I mean, you can't, you know, you can't run a probation department without structure and discipline. And if there's no structure and discipline, then, you know, you're going to have problems. And that's what they have right now. Good guy that I worked with a few days ago, brother I worked with for many years, he got stabbed 120 stitches. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's not.
Wow.
I'm not going to miss any of that part.
I understand that. Exactly.
What I'll miss, if you want to know what I'll miss all the camaraderie of the people that I worked with for many years. I mean, that's why I didn't want the party because, you know, all that, you know, it's you're trying not to shed no tears because these guys I went to, their birthday, their kids' birthday parties, I've been to funerals and everything. So when you have something like that, that's what'll eventually you'll miss is the camaraderie of the staff that you work with for many years. Yeah,
exactly, and that should be first and foremost. And you know, I didn't expect this conversation, but I like it, and I like to just kind of ask you one more thing. In how many years have you worked with this department?
Over 30, like 30, about 32, 33, but, you know, I end up, they classify me at 37 because I bought 5 years, but as actual work, I worked 33, actually will be March 21st, it's been 33 years.
33 years.
Yeah. Mm.
So, but during that time, and you've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and I'm sure over thousands probably, over into the thousands of individuals come through their youth that come through that facility.
Yeah.
Can you recall any that you felt like might have left there and never returned, or, you know, you might have had a great effect on them?
Yeah, I mean, I can say that we've had our success stories. It hasn't been all bad, you know. But then again,
right?
You know, when a kid leaves juvie, where is he going? He's going back to the hood. He's going back where he came from. And if he don't make that adjustment to change, you know, then all that stuff, you know, that stuff's for naught. You just, you know, you're right back to square one. So, as much as we
and the next step is to and the next step is not Julie, the next step is county, right?
Oh yeah, now you know they got rid of the county youth authority, so that's gone. So now with the youth authority being gone, dealing with a whole new deal now. You know, you're dealing with something else. And, you want to have something, they say, oh, well, we're going to do all these programs and stuff. That sounds nice, but until you get everything under control, until you have, that stuff done, you can forget about that, homie. You ain't doing no programs. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have the effect that you want. And you need it. You need this to make it happen.
Right. It's interesting that you said that because I was just on a show earlier listening to a conversation about politics, this and other, which in fact I want to get into certain things shortly. Like I said, for the listeners, Timon normally has about an hour with us because he is always busy. Of course, he's an author, actor, comedian, and now tonight he's being honored for his service for over 30 years trying to help the youth. 30 years. There's a lot of people who cannot say they've been on the job for that long period of time. I know some individuals who went into being sheriffs or, at county jails and everything and gave it up after a year or less because it was too much pressure on them. They seen a lot of stuff, a lot of violence, and stuff like that. They have to deal with that stuff going home and, and all that type of thing. But you endured it for 30 years. I commend you, for doing what you, I guess you must have enjoyed it in a sense of where you're doing something.
I got that job in a bar on my last $8. I didn't know nothing about probation, bro. I have no degree in psychology or psychiatry. I don't have no degree in criminology.
Mm-hmm.
But working with these people that trained me to structure and to advise and everything, I put in, you turn into a counselor, a father, a mother, you turn into this person that, bro, you end up addressing all your issues. Everything that you was dealing with is now right in your face. You sitting there trying to counsel a murderer, a rapist, a gangbanger, a pedophile, and you got the staff. Money don't cover everything. They think it does, but it don't. It don't.
Right.
You got to do all these different things you got to address. And people go, oh, shit, I didn't know what I was going to be dealing with that. Yeah. And then you might have to deal with you got to put your hands on somebody.
Right.
You got an 18-year-old stud sitting in front of you talking about F you, man, and calling you bitch and fat fuck, man. I'll jack your old ass up, man. I'll call you all kinds of names and stuff. And you got to deal with it.
Mm.
I mean, how you going to walk in and say, oh, man, if I was in that job? No, you ain't. You got to learn how to incorporate all this stuff. The cool thing, I had a life outside my job. That's not. I didn't come to California to work in probation. I was trying to find a way to pay for my career as an actor and stand-up comic, and that just happens to be where I ended up. Because I didn't believe in the starving entertainer. I was like, oh no, that's not me. Not the shipster. I can't do that. So, once you learn how to address that, then you can go and do all that stuff, you know. But you got to know how to deal with that, man. A lot of cats, they think, oh, I'm just going to do this one. No, you ain't. Because Junior has already decided, I'm going to ruin your day. And that's his job. And then let me not forget the females, who are just as bad. Yeah, them females, man, them girls is treacherous.
Yeah,
don't listen to you either. You tell you what you gonna do, and I do blah blah blah. And you better not put your hand. And everybody, the only person that wins in all this is the lawyer. Kids don't win. The lawyers are the one that's winning. Yep, the lawyers win big time. Because when their parents file them lawsuits, but then they don't understand. Well, if you get rid of, if you blame the staff for everything, who's gonna deal with Junior?
Exactly.
You still got to structure the
case. That's true.
You take away all my tools. Who's gonna pay for it? Who's gonna deal with it? And they ain't got nobody. They ain't got no answer. See, that's my problem. You ain't got no answer. You talking all that noise, but you ain't got no answers for the problem.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know,
and that's
like,
not just in California. It's not just in California. It's all over, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. But I always tell kids, you don't want to go to jail in Texas or in the South. You damn sure don't want to go down there. Cause they ain't like they're not, it's not the same. They'll beat your brains in down here. Yes, sir. They will hurt you. You do not want to go to jail in the South. You ain't gonna make it.
Yeah.
You are not gonna make it. It's a whole different breed. Of what they're gonna do to you if you go down there in the South. Although California is very tough, you can get seriously hurt. Plus with all these gangs and stuff, man. Oh yeah, you run into all kinds of. You know, it ain't what they make it out to be. You know, I came up at a time with old school work.
Mm-hmm.
If you got the people to do it. No, people love their job. Guess what? They kept them kids in line. They gave them programs. Shit. But now they took all that away, bro. They took all that away.
Well, see, and that's the thing where I say to people and folks, I hear folks on my job be like, did you see so-and-so, the Real Housewives of this? Did you see this so-and-so show? They're watching stuff that's scripted, you know. It's not reality. It might be reality to them, but
right.
I tell folks, I won't quote TV. That's not scripted. That's real court cases. That's the real world. These people are actually looking at life or death or freedom, right? And
right.
When you look at these type of things and these type of stories, it's like people feel like, oh, well, that's not enough entertainment, I guess. For them, it's not about entertainment; it's education. And so, when you come
well,
on, and
no,
I appreciate
kids,
you coming on, just go ahead. No,
I was gonna say, Mike. A lot of people they created reality TV so you would not really deal in reality. As much as that, you know,
sure.
Folks say, "Oh man, I want to do such and such." No, you don't, because the reality of it is. You know, it's a serious situation. You really don't want to deal with it. You know, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a different way of looking at things, you know. It really is. And
but the thing is, what I'm saying is that where isn't it, I'm trying to say this, that where isn't it where reality television shows, you got all these celebrities, you know, throwing dirt all the time, and you know that that's not real life. You and I know
nope.
that there's not always a beef every week between folks all the time like they do in reality. But people look forward to every week tuning in to more beef. Okay, so then this group, they kind of settle down with somebody.
As a woman said to me, she said, everybody needs to deal with, you know, they like their wretchedness to deal with. And I said, oh, mm-hmm. is that what it is? Wretchedness? That's what you need? It's, you know, it's
okay.
Like, when folks get out of they get out of college, and they know that the average American, then when they get out of college, stop reading. They don't read books anymore.
Mm-hmm. They don't read instructions anymore. don't even just say books. People don't read instructions. People don't read signs. And it's just amazing to me because I witness it every day where people just don't open up their eyes, look at the words in front of them, and don't want to read it. But go ahead. But, yeah, you're right. People don't read the simplest things.
No, they don't want to read anymore because they feel they ain't got time. Everything is instant gratification. You know, I want instant gratification. Like, I want mine to happen.
Right.
Now. You know,
mm-hmm. and I'll use you to do what I can simply do. Yeah. I can use you to do what I can do, but I don't want to do it. So that's beyond laziness, right?
And they know what they've created in our society. You know, it's called the impulse society. Everything is about an impulse, and it needs to be done quickly. You know,
mm-hmm.
they want everything now. That's why they try to go and live a lifestyle.
Okay.
And then they, you know, that's why you got parents, you know, the first thing they want to do is blame they want to blame the school. Or they want to blame the police department. But they're not blaming what they've raised in their house.
Right.
They don't want to blame them. Oh, no. Not my junior. My junior wouldn't do that. Not junior. Junior ain't like that. They lying on
but the thing is that we're, okay. But the thing is that we're and you're definitely on point because I see this all the time, and it really bothers me because, I mean, I'm looking at where, folks, come on now. It's on videotape. It's clear as day. You know, and it was a friend of mine who used to say, it's clear as water, and you can see through that. Okay? I love that line. Clear as water, and you can see through that. That there's something wrong here. And you're not addressing, you're trying to blame. Right? That's the bottom line. And the more you try to blame, the more the situation gets out of hand. Because now you're being, and now you are co-signing what your son or daughter has done. So now they feel like they can continue to do it over and over again because mama or daddy co-signed. Mama or daddy agreed with me, even though.
Oh, especially, Mike, when they beat their mama up. Do you know how many kids I was getting in that socked their mama for messing with their Xbox? You know, when we got to the point.
Yeah, I saw a video where the kid tore up the whole damn house because the mom took the phone or something, you know, and that's acceptable, you know. So you dealt with a lot of those type of individuals during your 30 years. You share what I'm saying without giving a name? Can you share a positive story about maybe one of the individuals you had there that got out and did better?
Oh, I had a kid that was going to commit suicide. And I asked him what he really wanted to do. He said, sir, I want to be a chef. I said, I tell you what. I said, when you get out? He said, I get out. Told me his date. I said, I want you to go down to the Skid Row and go to the kitchen. And them brothers down there will allow you to work with them so you can start cooking and stuff. And you can build your way from there, and you're also giving back to your community. And he went and he did it. You know, and he did it. And he had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good time doing it.
That's interesting.
You know, and, and he didn't cause no more problems after that. And so
he never came back to Judy. Right.
So the thing is guidance. If there's no guidance, you know, if you ain't got nobody mentoring you, talking to you, you know, like my nephew called me. And he didn't even go to his dad. He came to me because he wanted some advice on how to deal with his, he had just graduated high school, and he was having issues, and he wanted to know, hey, man, I asked him what he wanted to do. He told me. I said, hey, and I guided him on his way, you know, and you want to motivate. Work on their self-esteem, self-confidence. He listened. I could tell that my sister had raised him well when I could see so far because he sat and he listened. And he said, man, I didn't even know that. I said, man, the biggest thing, there is nobody in this world who makes it in this world by themselves. From the time you're born to the time you get your first job, somebody told somebody. And then that somebody, then it's boom, 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 and it just, it's, even after you go to college, get your degree, you got to talk to somebody. All this pull myself up by my bootstrap crap, that's a lie. Everybody needs somebody to help them, right? And I see people, oh, no, I did this. I'm going to use a lie. You didn't do it on your own. No, you sure didn't. I don't know why they be telling people that.
You know what? I mean, to be honest, I mean, I agree with you because, as you said, you know, there's help. There's word of mouth. There's someone saying something to someone else about you or about that other person. And then folks say, oh, I did it all by myself. You don't do nothing by yourself in this world. We, and I agree. We need to really take that thought process.
There
you might have thought about things that are, you know, well, what I'm saying is that where, you know, you might have taken the information or whatever someone shared with you and made your decision of how to go forward with it. But without that communication, without that assistance from one person to another, like I said, whether it's word of mouth or this, that, and the other, you didn't do it by yourself. I agree with you on that. And I think that's really something that should not be said. No one gets through this life, this journey of life, by themselves. I truly agree. You just shared that part of it, but I really, really appreciate you being a co-host here, sharing with us when you're available on Saturday, and sharing your knowledge and not just teaching the listeners, teaching me, teaching the co-hosts a lot of stuff that you've experienced, you know, because, see, I wouldn't know this if not for you. So I just can't do this show by myself.
Right.
I mean, I could, but, you know, I wouldn't be able to share things that you share and other people that have been on the show, special guests, co-hosts and everything, by myself. So that's a good point that you just made. That's a very good point that you made.
I
want to get into, before you leave us, though, I want to get into some of the topics because I know you have your opinions on it. I definitely want to get into a few if you don't mind. A lot of stuff happening in politics, and by the way, you haven't heard Janet Davis because she contacted me, and she has a bunch of family that came down from Carolina somewhere or something, somewhat announced but unannounced. She wasn't really expecting it, you know, at the time. So she says she's going to try to make sure she drop in because family members have a big birthday party, and they plan on having it here in Atlanta. And so, of course, her being the gracious guest she is, she's not going to be with us immediately. She says she's going to try to chime in later on. OK, Okay. So, but as always, Janet always helps put together some great conversations or great topics, which I ask her to do. And we're going to get into the political aspect of it first, because that's her favorite subject. This guy, what is his name? Daniel Perry. Now, if you guys haven't heard this story, Daniel Perry is a killer. Okay, he was found guilty of murder, and he shot and killed an individual during a Black Lives Matter protest. The individual he shot and killed had an assault weapon. All right, I'm going to get into more of the details momentarily, but a jury of his peers found him guilty, sentenced him, and now the governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, is poised to pardon him for this. He's poised to pardon
him. Right.
And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute now. Now, keep in mind that the person who was killed wasn't Black. He was a white dude. Okay? So here's what the story says. Unsealed documents from the Daniel Perry case show he made comments on social media about killing protesters and Muslims. You would think that those particular evidence, or well, they said unsealed documents. But so without those documents being sealed, I guess the jury did not see it. They just went by what the evidence showed them, right, of this whole thing. And before I go any further, I want to go ahead and open up a mic. This is a gentleman, also a guest co-host from time to time. I want to welcome Officer Crenshaw. Hey,
what'd you say? What'd you say? What'd you say? How y'all doing?
What I say?
Hey,
what's up, brother?
How you doing?
I'm sorry. I've been absent for a lot of the shows. I've had a lot going on. I found out that I have a case of the HBs.
The HB.
Yeah, it's kind of like shingles, you know, it makes you fall in love with, you know, Trump and Jim Jordan. It's what it really is. It's hairless balls. And when the balls are hairless, they start to look a lot like a vagina, and it attracts you.
That's not good. Yeah, I'm glad you went to see a doctor on that one, or a specialist.
Yes, because that's the only way. You know, I can't fall in love with Trump and Jim Jordan and all them guys.
Yeah, that's a bit much. Okay, so back to this. And this is from CNN, by the way, you guys, this document. As the Texas Pardon Board considers a request from Governor Greg Abbott to pardon a man convicted last week of fatally shooting a protester at a Black Lives Matter rally, newly unsealed documents show the Army sergeant talked about killing people and shared racist comments on social media. The documents from the case against Daniel Perry contain messages and posts made over several years. They were originally filed March 27th and were unsealed by a Travis County judge Thursday. The Houston Chronicle was first to report this. Okay, so Perry, a white man, was convicted last Friday on a murder charge in the July 2020 shooting death of Derek Foster, who was also white, at a racial justice rally in Austin held in the wake of George Floyd's death at the hands of the Minneapolis police officer. In a Facebook message from May 2020, just weeks before the shooting, Perry told a friend he, quote, might have to kill a few people who were rioting outside his apartment. The document also contains a May 2020 text sent by Perry that said, quote, I might go to Dallas and shoot looters, end quote. Some messages included, quote, white power meme. Perry wrote in 2019 message that it was, quote, too bad we can't get paid for hunting Muslims in Europe. All right, so just reading that alone, this shows that this is, I mean, does this show, in your opinion, Officer Crenshaw and also Tony, this guy was a racist, okay, based on his post. All right, so then, just to go further, I'm going to end here and get your opinion. On the night of July 25th, 2020, Terry was working as a rideshare driver and had just dropped someone off near the rally when he shot Foster. His attorneys argued the shooting was in self-defense after Foster approached his car with an assault-style rifle. Prosecutors argued Terry initiated the encounter by running a red light and turning into the crowd gathered at the protest. Okay, so Terry was already convicted. He was already convicted of killing Foster. But now the governor is poised to pardon him for a murder. Now let's look at this. Kyle Rittenhouse, the kid who shot and killed somebody and was found not guilty, he comes on and he's like a spokesperson for Stand Your Ground and gives his opinion and says, like, Perry was justified of doing so. After you drove over to the whole thing, you drove into this crowd, and looking what you posted of what you are considering doing, what does that look like? You guys tell me.
Premeditated murder.
Okay. And what way is it premeditated? I mean, so first of all, understand your view.
Well, he spoke about what he wanted to do and mm-hmm. why he wanted to do it, and then he carried it out. So the premeditated is, you know, it's not self-defense because he already said he wanted to kill somebody.
Years ahead. Timon, what's your thoughts on that one, sir? Timon, you there? I know Timon's getting ready to head out and celebrate his retirement.
Timon's retiring?
I think, yeah.
Oh, shit. Happy retirement. Get the hell up out of there.
Oh, yeah, brother.
You missed everything he said just about 30 minutes or almost an hour ago.
Yeah, well, I was handling my shingles.
Okay. Yeah. After 30 years, 30 plus years, by the way, he's retired.
Oh, wow. See, that's a man with patience. I couldn't do 30 years. I had to get the hell out of there. I couldn't do 30. I did 27 and a half. But to do 30 is like bringing your own sandwich with you and shit. I couldn't do 30.
Right.
Bring your own. So, Tyman, were you able to hear that part of the story? I want to see if Tyman's back on. Are you there?
No, that's Officer Crenshaw, that's only because I had an outlet. I had a life outside probation. A lot of cats didn't have lives outside probation. You know, I had a career, you know. I was just looking for a way to pay for it, you know. That's what kept me sane. And I became numb to the craziness.
Hey, well, congratulations, my brother. Congratulations.
Oh, thank
you.
You
know, and it's not just the job that we do, but any job anybody do. If you can make it to retirement in this world, congratulations to you, because they wait till you get right close to there, and then they do an age discrimination. You know, we don't need you anymore. We don't need your services. And then nobody will damn hire you because you're too old to go anywhere else because they know you're looking at retirement.
Right. I mean, it's a dirty game, man. And you got to be on your P's and Q's to pay attention to what's going on.
It's no longer P's and Q's. It's H and B's. You got to play that game.
You know what? It's so funny on my job that you say that because I saw some folks who got promoted. I think I told you guys about the person who got promoted over me. And they brought that person from another store. And they weren't even there for 2 months. And they took her to jail for stealing in cuffs. I'm like, okay. And everybody said, you know, before they brought this person in, they said, Mike, you should be the supervisor of that department. I said, well, I applied. I'll see what happens. And didn't happen that way. But then after they took her in cuffs, I requested and asked, hey, is my application still valid for the position? They're like, oh, yeah. But see, here's the thing. They had been watching that person they were there at that location for 2 months. They had been watching them for over a month. So, which I was told. And then next thing I know, they bring somebody who used to work for the company, quit, decided to come back, but wanted not to be in that other higher level. They wanted to be at the one, you know, that I was applying for. But they gave it to them because they're a former employee. See what I'm saying? So they already had put a person in position while they were investigating the person they thought was doing wrong. That's how it works. They already got
Mike,
That
was God looking out for you. Because
okay. He
already knew what was coming down, and that was God telling you in a quiet way, we're not going to let you take this video game that we put in front of you here. You know, we're going to let somebody else do it so you can see that I'm watching.
Yeah, well, someone said to me, said, Mike, you see how they operate? They said, I'm glad you didn't get the spot. And you know what? Sometimes not everything is meant for you. That's true. I was looking at the pay, but then I do all the work. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, you have to take it and just move on, man, which I do. The good thing about it in this whole thing, and I'm not trying to change the whole topic, but I look at it and I see it and I'm like, okay. But they don't, be honest, they don't fuck with me though, at all. I come in, I do what I do. They don't come to me and say, Mike, how come this is doing? Mike, how come? Like, no, everything that needs to be done is done when I'm there. You know. I'm not really looking at the money anymore. I look at the respecting and just getting stuff done, and then I'll look at moving forward down the road. Back to this topic here, though. I was wondering, Timon had a comment on that, too, because you said this was premeditated murder, what this individual did, which is Daniel Perry. Timon, did you hear the story? Were you able to hear that about where Governor Abbott is poised to pardon this person for shooting and killing this individual at a black Lives Matter rally? Tommy must have stepped away again. All right, so let me see here. I want to give you guys just a little bit more of this. Shortly after Perry's conviction, Abbott said he would seek a pardon and ask the Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles for an expedited review of the case. Quote, Texas has one of the strongest stand-your-ground laws of self-defense that cannot be nullified by a jury or progressive district attorney, Abbott posted in a statement on Twitter. On Friday, Abbott's office indicated there would be no change of position regarding his call for a pardon. Now, this is a court of law. This is where, you know, this is a jury that's picked. And look at the evidence. How can a governor feel like this person had the right to go, which it clearly states, he turned into that. He went to the event. He was a driver. He was dropping off a person, and he went directly, drove directly to the area where the so-called protests or whatever you want to call it was going on. He initiated. Why not just move on? Just go ahead and finish doing your, you know, your drives and everything and not get involved. Why?
Because he hadn't accomplished what he set out to do. And as far as Governor mm-hmm. Abbott is concerned, you know, he's looking for some protection for himself. So if he can pardon this dude, then he can get this dude to come work for him. Because, see, Abbott's getting ready to get the hell up out of there, too. They're going to get rid of Abbott, and he know it. But, see, he's trying to play the Trump game and build up his little background and whatnot. Because there's no other reason for him to take and single this individual out and pardon him compared to all the other people in Texas that's gone to prison for shit. No other reason. But he's looking for some young, well, this sounds, you know, molestish kind of, you know, but he's looking for some young meat, somebody who can protect him.
Well, one of the juries, one of the jurors said that Governor Abbott's rush to pardon Shooter is a travesty. Because now let's look at our judicial system. Let's look at where, so any governor that doesn't like the outcome of a verdict can step in immediately and pardon a murder immediately.
Well, you got to remember, it's been happening. It just hasn't been publicized.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's why the, what's the rich dude who now they're looking at his son for a murder of a classmate, the Murdochs? Why does that sound like animated cartoon or something? Yeah, because, because of the power and the height that they held in the town that they were in, they weren't looking at anything ever happening to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, Betty, it's the Murdochs, okay. Just for clarification, Murdoch is Murdaugh, and which is crazy because here the daddy is convicted of murder of his own wife and son. And here's something I'm glad that you brought that up, and I want to get into some of the other topics if we have time. But I've always said about the fact, why did he just kill that one son and the wife and not the other son? And it goes back to where now they reopened the case of the murder of the allegedly gay guy. Well, they said he was openly gay. That this son, okay, people are saying he had something to do with his death. You follow me? So the dad probably knew the son, who is still alive, had something to do with the death of the young man, right? That's how come he was not killed also?
Well,
you got to kind of think in that.
You
got
to look at it this way. The son helped kill the mother and the other son. All for murder.
That's
all for money.
Believe?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All for money.
So you believe that the son who wasn't killed, who is now being investigated again for the death of the gay guy, facilitated in this was part of the murder of his own mother and brother.
Yes. That's just my gut feeling on that. That's my gut feeling as a child, I don't care whether you hate your mother, hate your sibling, you know, you got to go and talk about your father possibly being the one who killed them. Dude was a blank slate. I've never seen anyone testify in court about a family member's death with no emotion. None.
Right. And you know what? I watched that trial, and he didn't have no emotion. He didn't have, you know, it wasn't like, "Daddy, why?" or, you know, because you know, your father is being
even if he didn't believe his father, even if he didn't believe his father did it, he's going to have love and emotion towards what they're doing to his father, what they're accusing his father of.
True.
But it was almost as if he already knew.
I'm sorry, I had myself on mute. Right, and that's what I looked at during the trial. I'm like, you know, if we look at it in a sense of if that was us, right, there would have been, if not an outburst, by listening to the testimony, listening to what my dad is saying. Let's say if my dad, which I know he would have never done that, but I'm saying if my dad was accused of that and listening to the testimony of what his father said, and he's sitting right there, there would have been a tear or something at some point, you know?
Well, some type of emotion that would have either triggered something in you to say, well, no, okay, I know my dad didn't do it, or, well, damn, okay, putting two and two together, maybe he did. Some type of emotion. But dude had no emotion.
Yeah. You're right. I didn't see that at all, whatsoever. I did not see any emotion. So now let's move on to, well, we already said about what Abbott is trying to do, okay. But before I move off of that, look at the fact that this is a white man shot a white man, just like Rittenhouse shot a white man, okay. And look at the similarities of the causes of these protests. This is a Black Lives Matter protest. So you're convicting a white man who drove over to a BLM protest, shot and killed another white man. But it was all about that protest. You follow me? It was about that. Do you think this is a thing on Abbott's behalf of saying, hey, look, we're not going to prosecute this person who went over, shot and killed someone during a Black Lives Matter protest because we don't want Black Lives Matter anyway. We don't want those type of protests. And this white man should not have been over there protesting for a black cause, right? Would you look at it that way? Okay. Because I think that's what a lot of folks are looking at.
You could look at it that way, but if you look at how shit's going in Texas right now, just like with the judge and the appeals and all of that, all they're doing is they're preparing themselves for an uproar. Because the blacks, the Hispanics, the Asians, you know, you're not getting ready to make us house servants again. That ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
We're all equal. No one is better than the other just because of the color of your skin or no matter how much money you got. We're all equal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you think you're going to treat me any kind of way, I was trained by the best. You better bring it.
So let's move on to another governor. In Florida, Governor DeSantis. This is interesting. Which I already mentioned, and then I want to get to Clarence Thomas. But Governor DeSantis recently, I'm trying to pull it up. I'm sorry, but it's taking a minute here. Okay, so DeSantis' anti-woke law remains blocked in Florida colleges. Okay. Says that Florida remains unable to enforce the Stop Woke, this is in quotes, law touted by Governor Ron DeSantis in light of a federal appeals court ruling Thursday that keeps the policies on hold for colleges and universities. The 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals denied a request from DeSantis' administration and higher education officials to block an injunction that determined the law restricting how woke can be taught in schools was unconstitutional, ensuring that state officials are barred from carrying out the measure for now. While the groups that challenged the state are claiming victory over the ruling, DeSantis officially say the state will ultimately prevail once the case is heard. Quote, professors must be able to discuss subjects like race and gender without hesitation or fear of state reprisal, unquote, said the Foundation for Individuals' Rights and Expression, or FIRE. One group that sued over the legislation said, quote, any law that limits the free exchange of ideals in university classrooms should lose in both the court of law and the court of public opinion. I did see where there was an attempt, or there is an attempt, to remove certain black individuals' names out of books, or not even put them in the books.
Yeah.
Remove them completely. Remove them saying that, there was this black woman on a bus. Not to say her name was Rosa Parks. And by the way, Bring It Boy, I see you here on the board in the chat room. Good day to you too, sir. But here's a move to pretty much remove a lot of names from black history. Just somewhat say what kind of occurred, you know, kind of, as they say, whitewash it. But come on now. Really? You want to go that far where you want to remove the names?
He's going to try, but he's not going to be able to succeed in that. I don't really listen to a whole lot that Ron DeSantis says, because you can look at him and tell, you know, he's on steroids. That's just anger, you know, coming out of him. You can look at him and tell he chews a lot of steroids. Mm-hmm. So he don't really know what he's talking about. He's trying to do something that's going to get somebody on the yay bus and, you know, think that they're going to follow behind him. But he's too busy, you know, basically saying things that distort people. But he's trying to still impress Trump with what he's doing. And he don't realize he's pissing Trump off. He know he ain't going to become president in 2024. He already know that.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I personal knowledge, half our politicians wouldn't be where they were if they did drug tests.
Now, I could probably agree with that. I'm pretty sure, yeah. In fact, I know I can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he made that statement about Fauci, about taking and throwing him somewhere and all this and that. Well, hell, he looked like a steroid-chewing ogre, you know. I don't even listen to nothing that man says. I don't listen to nothing.
But the thing is, Officer Crenshaw, there are people who do. There are people who listen to him, people who support him, and that's... And when you look at it this way, I mean, you know, everybody has a problem with, you know, the woke doctrine. They say, well, we don't want you to poison our white kids' minds talking about what happened back then and there. That's still history. There's a lot of stuff that we were not told for over 150 years, and people decided to say, you know what, we need to tell the truth. It's still history. So are we going to continue to lie to the American public? Are we going to continue to tell folks that's not true, and then 150 years later be like, yeah, well, you know what? It's about time we just be truthful. You know, the old saying is that the truth shall set you free, right? That's the old saying.
Right.
But if people have a feeling, whether it be black or white, that, you know what, something about this story doesn't ring correctly to me. Something about this story, I can't agree with it because there's some holes missing in it. Why not just tell the truth about it and move on? That's what gets me. Is that where no matter how hard it is, you got to tell the truth. Because some folks, you know, stay angry because they know it's a lie. And they know you know it's a lie, right? You know that as an officer. I mean, when detectives interrogate a person, they already know what the truth is. But they don't need to sit up there and keep on lying and lying and lying and be like, come on, man. We already know. And that's the same thing with society. You keep lying to society and denying the facts, you're only going to make a person more angry.
Well, Mike,
because you're denying
the
I'm sorry?
You're using logic. You're using your logical brain. They don't want you using your logical brain. You're using your logical brain. That's, you're right.
Well, thank
what
God
I'm
was
saying
doing
is,
it.
Yeah, you're supposed to tell the truth, but the truth, Mike, whatever end of our history that you want to talk about, it opens up Pandora's box. And they don't want to answer those questions, and they don't want to deal with what went down. You got black folks that don't even want to talk about that stuff. They don't want to deal with it either. They want
to
just suppress
too.
It.
Exactly.
And they just want you to be, you know, let's go back to being a consumer. Continuously fogging your mind up with getting you to buy a bunch of crap you don't need. You know, that's how they keep you focused. That's what they do. That's why folks ain't reading. They're all about the labels. They're all about, you know, all these different things. They don't want to know all that stuff. All they want us to know is where is the latest pair of tennis shoes. Where is the latest, you know, that I can get my hands on? Some more man-made crap that you can't afford that's going to cause your life even more trouble than what you're already, you know, that's all it is. It's just that they don't want to deal with that stuff, man. They don't want to deal with it. You can't want to talk about it.
Well, it's all, you know, in my opinion, I mean, because like you all know, I work at a Walmart. I work in the electronics and photo lab, and the electronics is the most ripped off department. I mean, not just Walmart, but even at Target, any store that sells electronics is high dollar items, right? And folks will steal and this and the other. Not just the customers, even the employees will do the same thing. But it's all about the brand name, like you said. It's all about material that people are really concentrating on. But back to the reading part, that's what blows my mind, is that people don't read. You know, I really doubt many of us can memorize a phone number because our phone does it for us, right? We just look at that name, press that name, and is that, but I bet you cannot recall that person's number if you need to call them and you don't have your phone. I guarantee you that.
Well,
we just
that's
don't.
Because, Mike, you know, everything was for these phones and the internet was supposed to make your life more convenient, but it has become more of an inconvenience. Okay, it was supposed to give you an extra, but you lost some things by what it was supposed to give you. And you're wondering why the kids today can't do what you want them to do. It's because, you know, we raised kids that are now, that even in their early 20s, are more like teenagers. They're looking for somebody else to do it for them. You know, we stopped sending kids to the grocery store. We stopped sending them, letting them walk to school by themselves. They turn into helicopter parents. You know, you're not able to get them to do things. And then you got the older adults. You got that hip-hop mom who's 40-some years old or 50-some years old who say, I still got it. But she out there trying to compete with a 20-year-old. You got the young men. The alpha male and the beta male debate now. All this stuff that happens.
But here's
really
what I see what Bring It Boy posted here in the chat room. The truth causes hate. That what the left makes it come to. Well, Bring It Boy, I disagree with you. Because the thing is that Bring It Boy said, the truth causes hate that what the left makes it come to. Now, let me say this. Bring It Boy, I disagree with you. It's a fact that where there's so much truth out there that whether you're Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. This partnership is very good to me because the truth should come out, and it will be accepted, okay? People will say, see, I always knew that. Yep, I knew that was what was going on, and they'll get beyond it. But like I said, if you were listening, when people know that you're lying, you're making them more upset. You really are.
Well, they're calling all this,
as I said just a moment ago, Officer Crenshaw will confirm what I'm saying. When they take someone into that interrogation room and they interrogate them and you keep lying to them, them officers are like, come on now. We already know. You follow me? And you're going to sit there and keep lying to their face. You're really making them upset. And that's the same thing with the public. You keep lying to their face, they're going to get more and more upset because they already know the truth. They already investigated. They already looked at it. For a prime example, and I'm sure I mentioned this before on the show, Jack Daniels waited 150 years to tell you the truth about the recipe. 150 years. One of the most popular whiskeys in the world. And it was believed to have been created by a Caucasian. Not true. But they stepped up. Their sales hasn't gone down, but at least having the truth out there, I appreciated it. I don't know about everybody else, but I appreciated it. That thank you for telling the truth. Though the family never got an extra dime whatsoever, hasn't received nothing.
But now they got their own whiskey, though,
just like
Mike.
And just like the family and where you are in California, that section of the beach that was all black, and it was taken from them. And finally the truth came out. And L.A. County gave the property to the family who rightfully owned it, and they turned around and made a decision to sell it back. Did they not?
Yep.
Timer.
And you'd be surprised what they sold it for. They didn't sell it.
I know what they
sold
it for. Little or nothing. Right. Little or nothing. They could have got more. They sold it back for little or nothing. So they weren't looking at greed at all. They were looking at, you know what, we're cool with this. We'll let you have it back. The only thing is that where they just proved the point of where, you know what, we can claim what was originally ours that was taken from us, take it from you, and let you have it again. So this was not a greed thing. It was just showing do the right thing. Just do the right thing.
It's all based on greed, though, Mike.
Exactly. Bring It Boy says again that, but that family was paid for that beach.
Yeah.
Bring It Boy.
Yeah, they were paid.
No, when they originally took it, no, they were not paid for that beach when it was originally taken from them.
Oh no, they did. Well, matter of fact, it was eminent domain. They took it. And
right.
With the help
okay.
Of the
so you
to,
right.
But it was taken.
Yeah, it was eminent domain. The family had a choice to keep the property or sell it back. Yes, they got paid, but not for the amount that it was definitely worth. But the point
right.
is, I think you're missing my point, Bring It Boy. My point was that the truth was brought out of how that property was taken from that family. Do you realize how much land that was, and that was the one spot that black people could go with their families
well, actually,
and
the
everything
land was
back
left in? The land was left to them by a guy by the name of Peck who developed Manhattan Beach. So, and Bruce, Charles Bruce, was a prominent black man who opened up a hotel as well as a bathhouse. But California, the state of California, used eminent domain and just took that property from them. You know, and I had a friend of mine who told me, well, Ty, what does that mean? I mean, it doesn't mean anything. I said, man, you got to understand, and this is what bothers me about black folks who don't. It's not playing victim. It's not about victim. It's like you said, we need to know the truth on how things got the way that they were. You don't need to lie
right.
about it. But when you lie, okay, that means you're trying to hide something because you're trying to act like, oh, no, it's going to tarnish our whiteness. Yeah, it is. And it's going to show you how full of shit you was when you just sit flat out and be like the British and tell them what you did.
And you know, I'm gonna go ahead and update you on what Bring It Boy is saying. The last post was they were not just kicked off. They agreed for a price. Well, no, hold on, and I'm going to read your next statement here. And you know you're always welcome to call me. I open up your mic and let you speak. But no, the original situation, which Tima just shared, it was called eminent domain. I had a cousin who had a house here in Georgia that was taken from her, and they called it eminent domain. All right? They took her property. Now, in the original story, that was eminent domain. Look, but now, and as you said, yes, today's story is what happened. You can say it's the truth of today. Right. Of where the state said, well, wait a minute. It was taken from them, eminent domain. They said, no, we're going to rightfully give it back to them. Correct. And then they made the decision to say, we'll sell it back to you. That's what happened. But let's look at the original situation. It was taken. And finally, the truth came out. They were able to get their property, and they just sold it back. The right thing was done. The truth came out. So when you talk about... But what I'm saying is that when you talk about, or when we talk about woke and sharing stories or sharing the truth about the history of America, the truth about slavery and everything, when they want to say, oh, you want to make white folks or white kids feel guilty, it's not about making you feel guilty. It's about telling the truth to all our kids. I don't believe a bunch of black kids are going to just get mad over something that is fact. Because we basically already know. But again, as I said, you keep lying, it makes me more upset. If you keep lying to me, if you owe me $1,000, you keep telling me I ain't got no money. I ain't got your money. But then I see you at the club or I see you taking a cruise, I'm going to get very angry because you're lying to me, damn it. I'm going to get very angry. I prefer you tell me the truth and say, you know what, I ain't got it, I'm working on it, and don't let me see you having a good damn time because you're lying to me. Hell, I had a cousin who borrowed $20 from me and said, cuz, I'll pay you back next weekend. I said, okay. Next weekend came and went. Following weekend came and went. This was years ago, by the way. I just happened to go to the club, and here he is having a good damn time. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, give me my money. Don't keep lying and thinking that, you know, a person's not going to put two and two together and realize you just pushing me to the side. Like, you know, you just disrespecting me at that point. You're disrespecting and you're insulting my intelligence at that point, that I know better. And I think that's really the problem when you have states that say, well, and they're looking at, well, we don't even want to have Rosa Parks' name inside history books. Really? We don't even want Martin Luther King's. But what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, there was this black civil rights leader who had a dream, and not even mention his name? Because that's what they're pushing for. That's what he's pushing for. The truth shall set you free. Really? Honestly, to some folks, they don't want to hear the truth. Tymon, you were saying.
Yeah, I was saying that, you know, the reason why, I mean, there's so much history. There's so much to talk about. And the information is there. That's one thing about if people wanted to look at Google or whatever, but they don't want to look at it because they're too focused on, you know, it's all, ain't nothing going to happen. It's not about something happening. It's about understanding how things got the way that they are. This stuff didn't happen in a vacuum. There were people who orchestrated for folks to get ahead. And let me tell you, just by the GI Bill alone, once, even after they amended the GI Bill in 1956, white people were ahead of black people, 170-something thousand to like 17,000. Can you imagine having that kind of jump in life? But yet you don't want nobody to know that this is what happened, that a lot of people did receive government benefits. And Martin Luther King exposed that in 1968. Before he died, he exposed how much they'd given white people and wouldn't give it to black people. And that was your government doing that. Everything's been done, but you don't want people to know what was put together in order to hold black people back. Same with welfare. Welfare was not created for black people. Well, it was created for white people.
Not at all. Right. And that is a fact. But some folks will dispute you on that. And Bring It Boy says here, and I'm going to read your comment here. They said, the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution stipulates, quote, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Thus, whenever the United States acquires a property through eminent domain, it has a constitutional responsibility to justly compensate the property owner for the fair market value of the property. Says C. Brom versus Ross and Kirby Forest Industries Incorporation versus United States. But it was not fair.
Yeah, the problem with that is, but the problem is they weren't compensated. If that was the case, they wouldn't have had to give it back to them 150 years later. They didn't have to give anything.
So,
back then, they just took it. They just took it.
Right. And it's just like my cousin. She never got a dime. They just took her property. So according to what you just said, the Fifth Amendment, not everybody practices law, obviously.
Yeah, but
because
they,
see,
yeah,
here,
but
you could disagree, but here's the thing I want to tell to Brink Boy. Here's the difference, though. You can fight tooth and nail with the government. Guess what? They got plenty of lawyers, plenty of time, and a hell of a lot more money than you do. To the point that you cannot have a defense. You can't. I've heard folks up here and threaten to sue. Well, I've heard folks sit up here and tell the manager, when I used to work for Home Depot, I'm going to call my lawyer. The manager said, fine, we got 20 of them. You really think that you can do shit? I doubt it. And by the time you spend your money and can't go further with the case, you wind up dropping it. And they win in the end. You might wind up on them. So that's the reality of it. They know how to buy time, and they got the money that you don't.
But also, Mike, you know, one thing about all these laws, it's just like when we created, you know, the different amendments. You know what the South said? Who's going to enforce them? Okay, laws have
correct.
To be enforced. And even when they created the civil rights, they signed the Civil Rights Bill, it had to be enforced. And in the South, if that was the case, why did we have all them problems? Why were they able to still do the thing? Because you got to enforce it. And the South felt that they didn't have to. They just took slavery off the books in Mississippi in 2013. Why do we have to create an anti-lynching law? Okay, I have to tell you not to lynch black people. It wasn't written for Mexicans. That was a law written for black people. So, you know, hey, I don't know what to tell them. They tripping.
That's true. That's very true.
You know, all this, if it is what they say it is, you know, hey, then we wouldn't be this way.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Crenshaw, do you have a comment on this?
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. I'm just listening because, hey, you know, this is how you stay informed and you gather information. You know, like I keep telling people all the time, people run around saying, I'm grown. You can't tell me what to do. Well, you're not grown until God has decided you've gained enough intelligence, intellect, and wisdom that he wanted you to have in this lifetime. Then you can say you're grown. So I look at people, elderly, with dementia and Alzheimer's, as being grown. I'm 60, and I'm not grown. Because I'm not shitting on myself again in this era, you know, or peeing on myself, or having to learn how to walk and talk all over again. That's when you can say you're grown. So I'm learning.
All right. Hey, you know, we've been talking. We got about 31 minutes left on the show. I'm going to take a quick music break, let everybody take a little rest. Timon had to drop because, as we well know, he's retiring after over 30 years of serving within the juvenile system, and really appreciate him for being a co-host here, being with us each and every Saturday that he's available. Or at least the top of the hour. Sometimes he hangs out a little bit longer, but tonight and his co-workers are going to take him out for a good, great celebration. Thank you, Timon, for joining us. And we're going to take a quick music break. I think I played this last week. I'm going to play it again. Get your opinion, Officer Crenshaw. I don't think you had a chance to chime in on this real quick. And then we're going to end with one more conversation, one more topic. You listen to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Coming soon, a new show is going to be joining us. I'll give you more information shortly. We'll be right back.
Get down and make me wanna get down.
Oh, baby.
touching on your body.
Touching.
Girl, you got the sight. Give it to me now. Let me feel the sweat. It's dripping off my face.
Nothing.
No fears,
oh,
no regrets. The way you move.
Show broadcasting live from the ATL Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 7:33 p.m. here on the East Coast. And hopefully you guys are having a great Saturday. And I want to thank you all for tuning in on this Saturday. That song right there, we discussed it, what, week before last, I think? And who does that person sound like? Well, everybody said, yeah, he sounds like Marvin Gaye. In fact, some people thought it was Marvin Gaye. Officer Crenshaw, have you heard this song before? Or are you familiar with this song?
No, I haven't heard it, but it definitely sounds like Marvin Gaye. And I'm like, okay, did they bring some old music out that he had sung and recorded? But I don't know who that is, mm-hmm. But hell, I like it.
Okay. Well, the artist's name is October London. You can Google, you can go to YouTube, in fact, and pull up the videos of these songs. He has a few of them. We had this conversation. Some folks believe that, well, you know, it was like a tribute. Well, I'm trying to push this all together. Mr. Lee Bailey, you guys probably know who he is, an icon in the radio industry. I spoke with him, and he's going to join us next month, and it was crazy because he sent me the actual audio of the interview he had with Marvin's sister. And she's not real happy about it. She likes the guy, you know, she thinks he's got good music. But if you listen to the tracks that are available on YouTube, there's some tracks he has where he doesn't sound like Marvin. The vocal arrangements are not the problem, I think she has. And I have to agree with her, is that when you look at his videos, he has on the beanie like Marvin. He has on the jean jacket like Marvin. Okay. And then the album is entitled The Rebirth of Marvin Gaye. I think that's going a bit too far. You know, to be honest, I think that's just going a bit too far. I got to give the brother credit. He can't see.
He didn't get her permission to name that.
Technically, he doesn't have to. Now, keep in mind that Snoop Dogg is the one who really introduced him. And technically, he really doesn't have to. And I just feel like, you know, this is this isn't the end of this whole story. I think depends on what happens in the future. But the thing that bothers me, or some of the things I put together that may not make sense to most folks, but the brother's name is October, which is a month. Last name is Linden. Now, I have Marvin Gaye live at the London Palladium album, okay? Coincidence?
Okay.
I don't know. Then, this song is called Make Me Want to Get Down Tonight, right?
Oh,
now,
yeah.
You remember
okay.
the Now, if you remember sexual healing words that Marvin says in that song is, oh, baby, now let's get down tonight. Coincidence? I don't know. But there's a whole lot of coincidence, to be honest, of how you have a last name that is like the title of Marvin's album. You're wearing the beanie, the red beanie. You got on the jean jacket in three of your videos. Okay. And then here's another little bit. I'm just going to give you guys just a little sample of this one song here. And you tell me. Check this out.
Oh, baby. I've been looking at you all night.
Okay. You heard that right. Think of a Marvin Gaye song that has that same horn line, that just that little brief bit of it. That's a legendary classic. And then he's talking over it like Marvin did on this legendary classic. Is that a coincidence?
No, that's imitating Marvin. And doing a damn good job of it, but you should have got permission.
But technically, does he really have to have? Obviously, he didn't have to, in my opinion, honestly, because, see, you have to have in music. It's not a sample, and it has to be so many bars, I believe, in order for you to be actually copyright infringement, all right? So
no, what's the smooth white dude's name? Thick, is it Alan Thick? What's his name?
You're talking about Alan Thick's son.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that what he did as far as the music? And you know, they end up going to court back and forth. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, music is music. You know, and granted, artists do have a right to have their style and their words and their harmony to themselves, and if they want to let somebody else use it. But, I mean, if it's adding to the memory, if it's not taking anything away, I think it should be allowed and accepted. You know, of course, fees and all of that stuff, because he sounds good. It ain't like he messed it up.
Yeah. No, and that's not, and I agree. I said that, you know, the brother does sound good. He really sounds good, you know. But as Marvin's sister said in the interview, had it been like a tribute,
right,
that would have been a different thing. But for them to, I think the main thing that really bothered her in the interview, I have the whole recording of the interview she had with Lee Bailey, and she said to call it the rebirth. It was funny because she said, I'm sorry, but my mom is the only one who gave birth to my brother.
Okay, so she could help him if she likes it, she can help him come up with another name, you know, other than Rebirth.
Maybe not Smooth the Kid. Now, check this out. I want to play this little bit here. Check this out here. Now, did you hear that horn line?
That was Marvin. That wasn't that dude.
That was Marvin. Right. But you heard that. Okay.
Right.
Which is the intro to Distant Lover, right? But
right.
A lot of folks didn't realize or don't realize, technically, that intro is not really the original intro to Distant Lover. Marvin took that interlude from one of his albums, which was the soundtrack to Trouble Man, the movie. Remember Trouble Man? Okay, with Robert
right.
Brooks. That was one of the songs from that movie, and he used that for the intro to Distant Lover. But see, everybody remembers that. Now, this guy,
right.
Okay, October London, knew that. That horn, that intro, and you notice he's talking, October London is
right.
talking, just like Marvin is talking in Distant Lover. To me, that is too much of a coincidence, you know.
Right. Well,
I'm going to give honor to
the game. Well, you're trying to honor the man without having to pay to honor him, you know. Because you sound too much like him. You're doing too much like what he's doing. You
mm-hmm.
know, go on and do what's right. Do what's right. You know, you want to pay tribute to him? You know, instead of Rebirth of Marvin Gaye, tribute to Marvin Gaye. You know? Do what's right.
Well, see, right. But see, here's the thing, and this is the question. Some people disagree with me. And they have the right to disagree with me. I think that this was definitely intended, intentional, to not make it a tribute to Marvin. Because, see, you don't hear anybody out there saying, oh, that's the next Michael Jackson or that's the next Prince. Because there will
no,
never be another
dude,
Michael Jackson. There would be another,
yeah, but they had,
well,
they had a dude that was singing that sound just like Michael. It was a dude singing that sounded just like Michael, young dude. But, you know,
yeah,
he didn't
is
look
he trying
like
to take Michael's style? Is he trying to look like, dress like Michael? Is he trying to put himself
oh,
off
no.
like he's the next Michael Jackson? See, that's what I'm saying. There will never be another Michael Jackson. There will never be another Prince. There'll never be a lot of different artists that have been there. There will never be another Aretha Franklin. You can't.
You can't.
You're
damn right. There'll never
yeah,
be
I mean,
another Prince. Because if there was another Prince, thank you. If there was another Prince, I'd be finding him. That's my boy there.
You know, you can't be another whoever. And just the
right.
way they went about this, and I said, what bothers me is the naming of the album. I thought that was a bit too far. You know.
Right.
And like I said, you can go to YouTube, type in October London. You can pull up his studio cuts, take a look at the attire he's wearing. He's wearing the same attire in like three of his videos, which I think that was intentional to have that Marvin Gaye look. Okay, so
right.
we're down to 15 minutes left in the show. I know we don't have much time, but I just want to touch on this topic and see what's your thoughts about it, Officer Crenshaw. The Supreme Court Justice, I know I'm going back into politics, but Clarence Thomas, they say he didn't disclose Harlan Crowe real estate deal, Crowe publication. Now, allegedly, this Supreme Court justice, in which I was fortunate to be on another show and listening to some of the things they were talking about. But here's what it says. Billionaire Harlan Crowe bought property from Clarence Thomas. The justice didn't disclose the deal. The transaction is the first known instance of money flowing from Crowe to the Supreme Court justice. The sale netted the GOP MAGA donor two vacant lots and the house where Thomas' mother was living. In 2014, one of Texas billionaire Harlan Crowe's companies purchased a string of properties on a quiet residential street in Savannah, Georgia. It wasn't a marquee acquisition for the real estate magnate, just an old single-story home and two vacant lots down the road. What made it noteworthy were the people on the other side of the deal, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and his relatives. The transaction makes the first known instance of money flowing from the Republican MAGA donor to the Supreme Court justice. The Crow Company bought the properties for $133,663 from three co-owners, Thomas, his mother, and the family of Thomas' late brother, according to a state tax document and a deed dated October 15, 2014, filed at the Chatham County Courthouse. The purchase put Crow in an unusual position. He now owned the house where the justice's elderly mother was living. Soon after the sale was completed, contractors began work on tens of thousands of dollars of improvements on the two-bedroom, one-bathroom home, which looks out onto a patch of orange trees. The renovations included a carport, a repaired roof, and a new fence and gates, according to city permit records and blueprints. Goes on to say, a federal disclosure law passed after Watergate requires justices and other officials to disclose the details of most real estate sales over $1,000. Thomas never disclosed his sale of the Savannah properties. Now, is that right? Is that legal?
What do you mean? No, it's not. I mean, yes, it's legal. He can sell it because he was one-third owner of the property. His mother was a third, and somebody else was a third, you know. Mm-hmm. But he did it all through someone that he met once he became a Supreme Court justice. Okay, now you got to look at the long term of this. What's the benefit from all of this? Because he makes enough money to where he could have bought the house for his mom so she didn't have a mortgage, you know, and paid it outright. But yet and still, she's still living in a house that someone else owned. And this guy is also supposed to be like some Nazi person or some shit. You know, he's got Nazi paintings and paraphernalia and all of that stuff. Not to say he believes in that stuff. He might just be collecting it to preserve it for history.
Right.
But how are you going to collect and preserve that for history? But you, at the same time, the people you donate money to wants to get rid of black history. Where's the Rosa Parks statue at and shit?
Right. But
you know,
where's
the
ML
King
statue? Yeah, but here's the thing where it goes on to say Thomas never disclosed his sale of the Savannah properties. That appears to be a violation of law. Four ethics law experts told ProPublica the disclosure form Thomas filed for that year was also had a space to report the identity of the buyer in any private transaction, such as a real estate deal. That space is blank. So is that unethical?
Well,
did he break the law? And then if he broke the law, what can they do about it?
Well,
he's a Supreme Court freaking justice.
He broke the law because it's federal law, okay? But it's really nothing they can do except fine him. You know, he has to pay some fines for breaking that law.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the only thing they can do is fine him. Like you said, he's a Supreme Court justice. So what can they do? you know. Now, people can try to step to him and say, okay, because of this ethics violation and the other ethics violation involving Trump with your wife and all of this stuff, you know, we're going to file impeachment, but it won't go anywhere. I don't think, hey, what's going on, man?
Mm-hmm. Well, I find what's interesting, since we were talking about Black history and you know, the woke situation where they don't want, they want to remove a lot of names out of a school books, supposedly black individuals, black leaders and everything. What was so funny? In a statement, Kroll said he purchased Thomas's mother's house, where Thomas spent part of his childhood, to preserve it for prosperity. Quote, my intention is to one day create a public museum at the Thomas home dedicated to telling the story of our nation's second black Supreme Court justice. That's kind of him. You know, I mean, wow. But there's nothing you can do about that, is what I'm thinking, is that where, you know, who's going to pursue this? Because if it's unethical for him to do so, and the law says, or at least what is supposed to be done, which is a federal disclosure law, after that again,
right,
he didn't abide by the law.
The thing is, he didn't abide by the law, but they never, never had that happen in the history, okay? So what they're going to do is fine him, and then they're going to do things to enhance punishment for Supreme Court justices pertaining to that from that point. That's about all they can do. I mean, they can ask him to step down, and he's going to tell them whistle Dixie, you know. They can't really do a whole lot to him when it comes to that. And he knows.
I truly doubt they will ask him to step down. And if they did, I'm sure his answer will be hell to the no, no, no. He ain't going to step down. This guy got the most cush job. He's one of the few that has the most cush jobs in the United States of America.
Right. Well,
you can
count on the
Supreme Court justice.
You can't, I can do all these things, you can find out about them, and you can't touch me. So, yeah, he's not going to step down. So they'll end up trying to file impeachment against him, but it'll go the same way that everything else is going. You know, the Republicans are right now running all these investigations pertaining to the Democrats instead of the bills and the laws that need to be passed. So it's just going to be a damn tit for tat. I say we get rid of fucking Republicans and Democrats and let some of us people off the street run the fucking government and make decisions. Because they ain't doing shit. You know, at least I got enough common sense. I got enough common sense that if I don't know, I'll go to somebody and ask them, hey, what should I do about this? I'm not just going to open my mouth and run my mouth and say this and that. Hey, what's the best idea for this? Okay, do you think we should do that? Because all they're doing is damn bickering amongst one another. You know, put them out on the damn playground and see if they can play baseball together. It'll be one big damn fight out there.
Okay, so, you know, that was another thing about these different parties. Of course, the most outspoken parties are the Democrats and the Republican parties. You do have the Green Party. You do have you have a lot of parties that a lot of folks don't even pay attention to, but they do exist, right?
Right.
Again, I look at it where, you know, according to one individual, said that the Democrats want more government, big government, the Republicans want less government. Do you find that to be true, looking at the state of this nation right now?
I don't know, because
mm-hmm.
if the Republicans want less government, you know, why are they interfering in everything like abortion? They want the government to be in complete control. You know, the Democrats looks like they want, you know, some decisions to be made by the people and some to be made by them. The Republicans want to make all the decisions.
I follow up what you're saying, that certain things should be a decision between the mother and their doctor or whatever the situation is. Some Republicans say that they don't believe that if it's based on incest or rape, that a person should be able to get an abortion. I have a problem with that, to be honest. I really do.
Don't get me wrong, you know, because I could have been aborted, but I wasn't. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
But if the circumstances exist, you know, it should be available. You know, they had a senator mm-hmm. on TV the other day that was talking about 12-year-olds getting married and having babies. You know, and I'm like, mm-hmm. you've got to be freaking kidding me.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all, because if you go back to the Wild Wild West, hell, there was men in their 40s and 50s marrying 15-year-olds, right? That's part of the U.S. history.
We supposedly have evolved. We have evolved from all of that.
Exactly. Correct.
You know, it's like
right.
me now at my age. You know, I don't want
mm-hmm.
some young woman. Because I'm tired of teaching, and I'm too old to teach. I want somebody older than me or my age that's going to help teach me.
Right. I agree with you, and I'm glad that we did evolve to where there's laws against. Now there is where you can marry at 16, true enough, at a young age. At a country, we know that there's a plan of marriages where the two don't even know each other, but the families plan out, you know, the whole thing. That's in other countries. But my thing is that we have laws against those type of things. But when it comes to abortion, I think that's going to be a long, drawn-out situation for years to come. But I do believe that a woman should not be forced to give birth to a child through rape or incest. I don't believe that should be a thing of where you're forced to do so. Because I mean, is she gonna love that child? She really gonna want to care for that child, knowing how she conceived child? Then it's
right.
not the child's fault.
Right. So my thing is, you want to take abortion away, you want to take pills away and all of that shit, you know, then if you expect people to still be intimate with one another, then what's the next thing you're going to ask for? For women to get their tubes tied at a certain age? You know, are they going to take that away to where they constantly increase pregnancy? You know, it's going to be illegal for men, you know, to get their balls snatched and cut. You know, you're going to take that away because they're just trying to make sure that the population is enough. Well, we all know war is basically generated and created because of overpopulation. You start having wars, and that's what we're getting ready to head towards.
Well, I think, and plus wars do generate a lot of money for the war machines, you know what I mean? That generates
a
lot.
It also limits the population.
Correct. Yeah. You know, it definitely limits it. Quickly, Bring It Boy had said, and I think this is where we were talking about Thomas. They want Thomas to step down. Also says, finally, they have something on him and they want his head. Let's see. We need an agency to watch all the other agencies. Well, then somebody's going to have to create an agency to watch that agency that watches all the other agencies, Bring It Boy. That's just the way things are. We are all abortion survivors. I don't know if I agree with them, but
well,
you might be right in a certain. And then the last part is
it depends on how old you are.
Yeah, tube tied and balls chopped off. Okay, if it's up to the left,
what?
Is what you said. Okay,
to the left said something about balls being chopped off. What
it said? Bring It Boy said, if it's up to the left, yes, tubes tied and balls chopped off.
But see,
that sounds more like a Republican thing.
But that's part of the problem. We're too focused on the left and the right instead of us. It's all of us.
I can agree with that, yeah.
It's not the left and it's not the right. It's all of us.
Well, let me say this here, though. But what gets me is that we're, like you said, we're so into the left and the right. These people that allegedly serve their constituents, who serve as mayor, as governor, and this and that, they're supposed to be serving the people, right? We vote them in there, and they get a salary. Now, there are some people that are in office, been in office for decades, and they're making more and more and more money while people are getting poor and poor and making less money. And don't let them fool you when they say, and even, you know, the Republicans or the Democrats say, oh, the jobs numbers are great. That's bullshit. That's part-time jobs. That's just for a certain amount of time. Companies claim we've hired this many thousands of people. Yeah, how many hours are they getting? Are they living off of those hours? No, they're not. See, the number of people that you hire doesn't mean a damn thing. It really doesn't mean nothing. All those people thriving and surviving is the question, because most people, a lot of people now, are working with those companies because they need a second job just in order to survive. Okay, people have two jobs just to survive. And the ones that just have one are barely surviving or surviving day to day. Now, if you're fortunate to have a good enough job to pay your mortgage and, you know, put gas in your car and put food in your refrigerator, God bless you. Hold on to that. But I know a lot of people who work two jobs and don't even own a house. Can't afford a house. They're just getting by day to day. They had to get that second job. But then here are these people that we vote for, you know, run our, you know, our country or whatever, and they're making more and more money. Companies are making record profits. I don't get that. The cost is going up for everything, food, gas, lights, water, everything's going up, but these companies are making record profits. I just don't get it. I paused because I was wondering if you had a comment on that, but I don't get it. I don't understand. Why do we keep putting people in and then a lot of them, we don't make the decision if they get a raise. They vote their own raise. Now, come on, Officer Crenshaw. As an officer, you and your coworkers didn't have a chance to sit down and say, hey, we need to vote for ourselves a raise. Yeah, what do you say? Well, yeah, we deserve a raise. Okay, vote complete. No, you had to battle with downtown, right? To give you a percentage raise all the time.
Right. Our city council would vote on our raise. And mm-hmm. what they would do is they would vote on either a 3 or a 5% raise for us, which is
correct.
Basically pennies or taxes. But, you know, one year they voted us a 3% raise, and people was like, oh, yeah, we getting something. And then they voted themselves an 80% raise, and they're part-time. So 80% of their salary, you know, is greed.
And so why do we allow it? How come we can't say, all right, how come we can't put someone in office and say, hey, look, I'm going to vote to make sure that we do not vote in raises that are not necessary, to be honest. You're doing good. The people voted you in. They didn't vote you in to make a hell of a lot more money than they have. They voted you in to keep their taxes down. And speaking of taxes, when you look at all these lawsuits against police departments and stuff like that, that happened, that comes out of the tax dollars due to, you know, the lawsuits against officers and this, that, and the other. How come
well,
we can't
actually that depends on how your municipality is ran, because they also, some municipalities set up a fund for that to where it doesn't come out of the taxpayer's pocket. It's already a fund set up and established to pay out on those lawsuits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I follow you. I mean, I really do follow you on that. Last but not least, and I did extend the show, you guys, for a little bit longer. I want to ask Officer Crenshaw one more topic that we touched on last week briefly. We didn't get a chance to really discuss it even more, but there are stories. There have been stories, and I'm aware of them, and I'm sure you've probably heard of them, of certain municipalities. If you're traveling with a large amount of cash, okay, these areas can keep your stuff, right? There was this one case here, which I'm sorry, I'm bringing it back again. Here's these states. These states let police take and keep your stuff even if you haven't committed a crime. Now, there was a story of this gentleman. He was traveling with a large amount of money going to another location to buy. He runs a company, okay, big rig trucks and everything. He had a large amount of cash on him. They confiscated his money. They assumed he was going to use it for something criminal. Took him years to get his money back, all right? They said here, these states fully allow what's known as civil forfeiture. Police officers can seize someone's property without proving the person was guilty of a crime. They just need probable cause to believe that assets are being used as part of criminal activity, typically drug trafficking. Police can absorb the value of this property, be it cash, cars, guns, or something else, as profit, either through state programs or under a federal program known as equitable sharing, which lets local and state police get up to 80% of the value of what they seize as money for their departments. What's your thoughts on that? I think that's pretty interesting because I've seen some stories where people won money in Las Vegas and drive through another state, get stopped. They have it all in cash and civil forfeiture.
Well, you have to be able to prove how you came about that money, if it was legal or not. And driving from Las Vegas with cash, crossing state lines, you know, the way the government is set up, you have to pay taxes on that money when you bring it into another state. So what they do is they seize that money. They seize that money hoping that you'll never come back for it. I've had a few people that I've known that had money seized, you know, and they get their attorney involved. And once they prove show the documents to prove how they came into that money, that it was legal, they're able to get their money back. Most municipalities hope that you don't, because that money goes into their kitty fund, especially small towns. They hope that you don't fight and prove that you came about that money legally.
Correct.
You know, it was one case here to where someone had inherited a large amount of cash and was coming back from the will reading and crossed state lines, and state troopers stopped them, called us out, and, you know, of course, the money got seized. But I think within 4 months, they got it back, because they was able to prove that specific amount of money was given to them through a will inheritance, and they were entitled to that. Now, they did cross state lines, so now they had to pay taxes on the money that they were bringing in, since it was cash, because if it was electronic transfer or check, once it went through the bank, it would have been documented, and they would have had to pay taxes on it. But I think it took like 4 months and they got it back. I have seen cases that's taken years, you know, because that's the easiest way for people to transport illegal profits. You know, you drive to one state, you sell a shitload of dope, and you drive back. You got to prove how you came into that money. You're not going to say, I sold 5 pounds of cocaine, you know, so you got to come up with documents. I had a guy that we knew was a drug dealer, had money on him, you know, and the detective seized all the money, but he kept telling me, dude, that's my income tax return. Yes, he was a convicted drug dealer, but the cash he had on him, the exact amount, matched his stub from his income tax. So he got that back within like 3 weeks, because he went down, showed down at property release where that was his tax return. It was the exact amount to the dime.
That's fair enough. But, you know, you look at this guy, you know, he has a business, which I said. They could have taken a look and seen, oh, okay, he has a business. This is what he does. He's going to go buy a truck, a big rig. You can kind of put that all together. I'm sure he told the story that, hey, look, I'm going to purchase this vehicle. They want cash. They don't want a cashier's check. They don't want, you know, anything like that. I think that they could have really followed that whole story. Contacted the person they were dealing with, looked at his background, saw he never had any kind of criminal background or this, that, and the other. It took him a number of years to get his money back. What about in that situation of where you have cash in order to go pay for something? Let's say, for instance, you know, you want to buy a new truck, or not a new truck, but just a truck in general, and the person says, well, I want cash only. But
well,
they can seize your money.
You have, right, but you have transaction receipts from your bank where you pulled that money out. Unless you hide your money in the jelly jar up under the bed like old folks.
Right, that's true too.
And that's what the government is looking for. He could have pulled bank transaction receipts showing where he pulled that money out of his bank to go buy something cash.
Mm-hmm.
But it took him years because he didn't have those transaction receipts. He had to either find them, try to put a bunch of them together to come up to that exact amount. You know, but everything now is on computer, so if he met somebody, you know, it should have been something online to where the person was stating, I want this amount in cash. Okay, I'll get you this amount.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trail to be followed. You
sure.
know, but it's also up to the people who are doing it. You know, that old saying, CYA, cover your ass. You know, if I'm hiding my money up under the mattress, If I'm hiding it up under the mattress, you know, I'm keeping a log of what I'm putting up under the mattress. I'm keeping a log of what I'm taking from under, from out of the mattress. I'll show them whatever I got to show them to get my money back so I don't lose it.
Wow. I wonder how often that happens, though, where people lose a large sums of money each year.
Quite often.
And don't, or they have a
quite often, because people go to the barge in Mississippi, they go to Las Vegas, they gamble, you know, and they don't want to report it. And they come back through, and that's what those troopers are looking for. Those cars with those out-of-state tags where the person is staring straight ahead instead of waving at them, you know, and you'll pull them over.
You better acknowledge the cops, you guys, okay? Just wave at them, you know, like, hey, officer.
Yeah, just
good to see you.
And, you know, and if they pull you over, you know, right, if they pull you over, well, you would shoot me a bird. No, I was waving at you. I was saying hi to you. I respect the police.
Right. Right, exactly. Hey, you guys, we're going to get on out of here. We did do a little bit of overtime to touch on a few topics, a few things, and Officer Crenshaw hasn't been available for a little bit, but I wanted to bring that to his attention and get his response, and I truly appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much for joining or tuning in today. Hopefully you can make it back next Saturday. And by the way, you guys, want to thank Bring It Boy in the chat room for joining us. Great point. And great show. Thank you, too. Okay, well, thank you, Bring It Boy. Also want to thank the one and only Mr. Timon Ship. And Timon, happy celebration to you as he celebrates his over 30 years with the Juvenile Detention Center, so, and now retiring. Unfortunately, the lady of the house, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis, wasn't with us, but hey, you know, she needed a little break. She's got some family coming in from out of town, so she's being the great host that she is to her family. So we'll see you guys next Saturday. Remember, we have a new show starting, scheduled to air next Friday. Next Sunday. So I'll give you more information through our chat room and through our social media pages. Mr. Robert Arnold show is coming up. And also, we got some great guests joining us next month. Both these gentlemen have been with us before, the iconic, legendary Mr. Lee Bailey will be joining us. And also, violinist, viola player, he's performed with Lady Gaga, with Tony Bennett, two legends in the music industry. The one and only Mr. Ramon Phillip is going to be joining us because he just released his first debut album, CD, whatever you want to call it, and it's available now. Go to RamonPhillip.com, his own original compositions. I've heard some of the tracks in there, really awesome. So please support this brother. He'll be joining us next month, and the times and the dates are coming soon. Hey, enjoy the rest of your Saturday. We'll see you next Saturday. Thank you, Officer Crenshaw, man. Appreciate you, brother. And
no problem, Mike.
Take care.
No problem.
Bye.
All right, well, let me let you go.
All right. We'll see you all next week. God bless.
Okay.
Peace.
Good night.